Hi, everybody. Sorry about that part. Hi, everybody. This is Therese, and I'm super excited to be here tonight. Thursdays have become Transformation Thursdays, and we have young athletes. We have people that are really making a difference out there, and tonight it's a real honor and pleasure to introduce a young woman. She is a professional athlete, and she plays beach volleyball. Where she plays volleyball and beach volleyball, and I was just talking to her a few minutes ago. She's not always been a volleyball player, but she's always had been an athlete. So her name's Jules. I'm going to call you Jules because that's what you're, if that's all right, Jules, because it's fun and it's magical and people. So Jules is here tonight with us, and introduce yourself, Jules Ridley, and I hope I said your last name right. I just know you by Jules. And you started out as an athlete, and you played volleyball, and you're not from California, you're not from South Florida, but I'm still not sure how you got into that, but you share with us, okay, because you're from Kentucky, and a lot of good people there are from Kentucky. Tell us about you.
Well, thanks so much for having me. Yeah. Well, I have kind of an unorthodox story, for sure. I'm actually from Kentucky. And big fish in the little pond playing indoor volleyball. I don't know anyone else from Kentucky that eventually ended up on the sand, but I played 2 years at Southern Indiana and then finished my last 2 years at Barry University, and that's in Miami Shores. So as soon as indoor stopped, I had no idea what to do with my life. I've been an athlete since I was 3. I was a gymnast for 11 years. And had a spatial awareness from that. I was easily transferred into a diver, like a diving board diver. and after that, you know, in the off season, got invited to play some volleyball. Just had some height, I could jump. And, yeah, the rest is history. I kind of showed up at a tryout, and they taught me from scratch at 14 years old. And so ended up playing for Division II volleyball at Barry University. And after that, had no idea what else to do. You play sports your whole life, and all of a sudden you're done. And that's tough when that's your identity. So I kind of met the right people and ran into beach volleyball and got extremely blessed with a fantastic coach, one of a very, very well-known coach on the East Coast. And he got me pretty far from a beginner in beach volleyball to a professional level in 4 years. So very, very grateful for that.
That is amazing. Now, it seems like you've had a lot of luck. I always believe that you have a strong connection and relationship with God. I've read that too in your, and I'm going to ask you about that in a few minutes. But you're at the right place at the right time. You're out there. I'm reading your sponsorship. So cute what you said, that you're trying to play volleyball, beach volleyball, with pure athleticism, and have never really been coached in it. And in 3 years later, you're a professional. What did he teach you? How important is coaching, and how important is consistency and dedication and drive? Take us through that.
Oh, my goodness.
Tell us that part of your story.
Well, my coach's name is Mike Morales. And we have a small little group in South Florida. It's in Pompano Beach area. And we kind of coined ourselves Home Team. We also have a club called Home Team Juniors, which is coached by all these pros too. But when he met me in a small park, and someone kind of put in a good word for me, I was like, how can I pursue this? I have no idea what I'm doing. But I was doing okay, just coming out with college basic indoor skills. I was able to play AAA volleyball, which is like the next division down. And anyone that's pretty athletic with any foundation, you know, you can figure it out. But it is such a mind game in comparison to indoor. And so he saw some potential. He saw my athletics, and he said, you've gotten away with being athletic for way too long. And I was like, thank you. he basically said, this is going to be a full-time commitment. He said, I can make you pro in the next 3 years. He said, and I wouldn't tell you that and if I didn't believe it 100%. He said, but I don't take anybody on, like in his training group, that will not put in 100%. And that means a 5-month off season. My first year was 5 days a week, in the morning, 2 hours a day, roughly.
Oh.
And
right.
Oh, terrible. 3 months. The first 2 or 3 months, we barely touched a ball. It was super strict conditioning. Took me a long time to get my sand legs, because you think you're athletic and then you try to do anything in the sand and it humbles you out real quick.
I like that, so sand legs.
Yeah, they call them sand legs. And you can tell an indoor player will come in and they're raw, they're pretty good, but they can't last more than half a match. And we all laugh, like, aha, indoor. It's a big difference.
Wow.
So he took me from a strategic side of the game. We would do the weirdest, mind-boggling kind of drills. Like, you're in the middle of a play, and he would ask you to say the opposite of something. So, like, we'd be about to hit the ball, and he'll say, fire. And before we hit the ball, we have to say water, or whatever comes to your brain. You wouldn't believe how difficult that is. And
wow.
So we make you think constantly. Breaking me down all my fundamentals, making them more beach savvy, and then took and had to teach me the game from scratch, because I don't have 6 people anymore, it's 2. So that was the biggest difference, was he broke us down mentally, and that means, yes, maybe we're crying 3-4 times out of the week, maybe we want to quit after a couple months, and he warned us about that. He said, it's going to be a roller coaster. You'll think you're fantastic and you'll do well, and the very next tournament you'll go 0-2 and want to kill yourself. And I'll tell you what,
wow.
He was right. He was right.
I have a question for you.
Coaching is important.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's my question. So you're saying to me that it was almost like boot camp to retrain you from everything that you knew, okay? And that's what
yep.
I'm getting. And mm-hmm. And you wanted to quit, okay, because you're in crying thinking you'd never get it. Sometimes, and he just, did you ever just hate him and say, I'm done? Did you ever quit? Did you ever say, I'm gonna not do this anymore?
We have a very clear love-hate relationship, but we're so loyal to each other as a group and from coach to player that for some reason we just know deep down he loves us, and he
right.
barely charges us for practice. Like, for the type of training we get, it's unheard of for what we're paying in comparison to what he could be charging. People come from all over the world. Like, we're training with some Brazilians next week, one of the top 4 teams in the nation, or not in their nation, so in the world, really.
Wow.
So, like, you know, he definitely knows his stuff. And so it's an honor, even though he's super hardcore on us, he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't care if he didn't love us.
Okay.
And so at the end of the day, we kind of come back to that.
Yeah, I get you. I understand a little bit, not nearly to the extent, because I had a trainer for running, and it's like, man, is he the devil or what?
Oh, yeah. I've never quite quit, because I have a thing about quitting. Like, I don't think I've ever quit anything, but it's kind of more of a I be darned mentality. Like, I refuse to let you win. But,
gotcha.
You know, have I doubted myself 5,000 times? Absolutely.
You have such a strong confidence in your letters, when I'm talking to you, and you just are a super confident woman, and you seem extremely powerful. So how did you get that confidence, and did you ever not have that confidence? And where do you get that power?
That.
Is that from God? Tell us about the confidence first, because I want to hear about that.
It has to be. I mean, it has to be from God, because I've always been confident in, like I said, my athleticism, but I wasn't getting the results that I wanted for the physical capabilities that I have. My coach would always tell me, he said, you're a physical specimen. He said, you're so fast. You jump so high. You're stronger than anybody on tour. And he goes, you just don't believe it. Just you don't trust and use your gifts to win or for the better. And he was right. I would literally doubt myself all
right.
the time. He said that was the only thing he saw that lacked in my game was my security. I'd be doing well, and heaven forbid, I shanked 2 balls. And all of a sudden, girls on tour used to know, now we can just serve her to death, and she'll break down mentally. I've overcome that quite a bit. But it is still coming down to little bits of focus in tight games that I'm scared to make a mistake, or I doubt my ability, or I'll cheat on defense because I just didn't trust that my speed would get me there. And so that's been a constant battle. And then I had a personal trainer. I train at the facility in Boca Raton. My trainer's name is Rod Payne. He played for the NFL, and he has such a warrior mentality. It was complete God that we found each other. We found each other in an interesting location. We're just at a restaurant. It's kind of after hours, and we're having fun. He happens to have a passion for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and he wants to take his rank and his status to pretty much developing their main headquarters.
Right.
He found out I was a Christian, and I work at a Christian high school, and we kind of clicked from there. But he's got this hardcore warrior mentality that refused to let me give up all the time. And something really rang true to me when I'm in pain and I'm about to cry and we're suffering through some kind of training. He's always screaming, train for no doubt. You train for no doubt. He says, if you can go on the court and you lose for whatever reason, if you can say, I did absolutely everything I could for victory,
right,
and you still lost, then that is an acceptable loss. If you could have trained harder, then you fell short. So training for no doubt, that term doubt rings true to me because my coach always says, you doubt yourself, you doubt yourself. So the past year, I've developed tremendously in trying to believe that I have the tools to achieve my goal.
So your affirmation, if you do affirmations or whatever, would be train for no doubt. Okay, that's great.
Yes,
I like that.
Absolutely.
And play the game with no doubt, right? That's what you do. So you
mm-hmm.
do the best of your ability. Wow, cool. Very cool.
Right.
Let me ask you this, too, as well. And I know that you attribute a lot of your success or all your success to God. And we have a lot of people that listen to the show from different religions, different cultures, in a lot of different countries. So how do you, when you're down or your team is down or the score is down, do you say, God, please help me? Or what do you say? Do you say anything like that pulls you through? Because somebody just texted me and asked me if she does that. And I was like, I don't know. I ask her. So do you do anything like that?
I talk to God about volleyball more than probably anything because I feel it's almost a selfish ambition. I was like, you made me good at only a few things in my life, like really good at a few things, which was coaching or communicating and my physical ability. And I clicked in volleyball just at 14. I picked it up like it was nothing. So like, God, I know you want me to do this, but I don't know how I can use it to glorify you. And I've struggled with that for a while, and I'm starting to see that path unfold much more clearly now. But I almost feel a sense of guilt when I ask for victory and a sense of a win, because obviously
right.
that would be taking away from someone else's win. So, you know, it's more so prayer for me to play the absolute best I could possibly play, you know, preventing injuries, give me the confidence to do the things I know that I can do. And it's not so much like, please help us win. It's like, let me play to the best of my ability, and if that results in a win, hallelujah. But if not, it wasn't meant to be, and I got outplayed at the end of the day.
Okay,
but yeah,
so you'll
always struggle with that.
So you don't play,
yeah.
play for the win. You play for you guys, you and your teammates play the best of your ability. That's cool.
Right.
Okay. I just got somebody else just texted me and said maybe she's here to show the other team how to win the next time for Kenya. And then I was like, okay. So that's a thought.
How to win?
That's a lot of people.
How so? I'm sorry.
I said somebody just texted me and said maybe her team is supposed to show the team that they're playing how to win the next time. You know, something they learned that they didn't know before. And I was
yeah.
like, okay, that's kind of cool. You know, so
mm-hmm.
anyway, so, yeah, I was like, wow. Okay, so you, that, yeah, you never know. So, but the thing is that it seems like you give a lot of your gift that you're here to do to show, to teach, to coach, to play, you give praise to God, which is cool. And I appreciate that. Thank you so much for sharing that part. You also do, You bet. You also do a lot of coaching, and it, I'm looking at it right now. You do it to help kids to play volleyball better, and to coach them. And talk to us about what you do with the coaching with children, and what ages do you coach? Because I think that's cool.
Well, they're joyful, aren't they? God really work.
I'm sorry? I said they're joyful, aren't they? I just love kids. The kids, they're so joyful. I love kids because they play like nothing. So it's amazing.
They really crack me up. They are my joy. All my business, everything I do is with kids. And so I've coached from last year, my little beach group was so small they could walk under the net. They were 10 and under. So I had 8, 9, and 10-year-olds, and they would blow your mind. They can pass a volleyball all the way down a court, over the net, walk all the way down and all the way back and still keep the rhythm of the ball. It's phenomenal to watch these kids play and their passion and they literally will scream mine and push somebody out of the way just to go for the ball. It is adorable. But I've had, for indoor, I had a 12 elite team and a 13 elite team. It was pretty much the same team the next year. And we had tons of success. We finished, I believe, six. First year was six in the state, and this year was 11th. And we've had a couple different names for the club, but I coached the club for last year was Matrix Volleyball Academy, and we changed the name to UPS Volleyball Academy. It's UPS Performance, UPPS Performance. And that's Ultimate Pro Performance System. And it's all about the coaching for us. It is not, I mean, of course it's a business, but it's more so a family. We see a lot of clubs that are really huge and you just kind of become a number, but we're definitely family oriented. We have a beach segment off of UPS called Home Team Juniors, and that comes from our pros home team group. Our coach started this club, and so he has all of us. He takes care of us. Once again, it's a loyalty. He takes care of us by providing us coaching jobs to get us through all of our expenses for our season. But we end up falling in love with the kids. They play on Sunday. We play on Saturday. So we'll go and coach them the following day. But I do a lot more coaching where I feel even more is at Calvary Christian Academy, and that's in Fort Lauderdale. And, yes, I have my JV team, and that's cool, but I'm in the weight room at Calvary. And we teach powerlifting and speed and agility, sports performance for all the sports. But the girls pretty much are mine. Like any girl that walks in that gym, they send them right to me. And I cannot even tell you how many lives I feel like I've impacted because I'm a little bit younger. I'm closer to their age. I'm kind of a cool chick. They look up to me. And so we have conversations they can't quite have with their parents that they can't quite talk to a teacher about.
Right.
And so it becomes a more of a role model. And they add me on Instagram and Facebook and text me all the time. And it's more like a big sister that they trust. And so I'm able to really minister to them and give them words of encouragement. Sometimes when it's the tough situations that maybe a Christian school or a Christian mother would not approve of. And they trust me to kind of get into their heart and give them an honest opinion.
I like that. That's cool. I like that. So you're making an impact on them. So the ages at the Christian Academy that you teach are obviously older. Are there teens, preteens, or both?
You know what? We start coaching at sixth grade, obviously much lighter weight and all of that. We teach mechanics, but sixth grade through 12. I mean, primarily it's the high schoolers that come in, but I have a couple middle schoolers that are fantastic. Just ridiculously strong, super dedicated, weekly. So
I have a question for you. That's cool. I like what you're doing there. You have these kids that are coming to you, and what is the most important thing? Is it their drive? Is it their ambition? Is it talent? Or is it consistency and dedication? If somebody doesn't have all the talent, but they have the consistency and the dedication and want to do something, do you think that is as important or will impact or
yes.
they can do? Okay. That's a good
Absolutely.
Question for you right there. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I have a parent that wanted to know that too as well.
Well, what kills me is it's a lucrative school. These parents have a lot of money. So a lot of the kids know that, you know, if I don't get a scholarship for athletics, who cares? Mommy and daddy will still pay for college. Now, the difference is you'll go and see at a lower income school, if you don't get a football scholarship, you're not going to college. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so they work
right.
So much harder. They're in the weight room 5 days a week. They are getting nutrition advice. I'll see them out on the sand doing football drills on their own, like, you know, 8 o'clock at night. I'm like, wow, we don't have that type of drive from everybody like we should at Calvary. And I feel like that is simply because there's no do-or-die feeling. So we have some athletes that are very strong that are just okay with already being athletic, and so they don't put in the effort. And we have some that are average that work so hard that I'm starting to see them outshine their natural athletes. And those are the ones I tend to start latching onto. In my heart, I'm like, I've had some kids make my volleyball team simply because they were in the weight room every day. They signed up for all the clinics. They text me, hey, coach, is there anything I can do to get better? And I love that. And I think that work ethic will take them so much further in life than, you know, being handed something just for what you are.
That's cool.
I was athletic, but I'd never touched a ball when I was 14. Now, here in Florida, if you see a kid that has never played volleyball at 14, you don't even give them a chance. It's like, huh, you're not on an elite team, you'll never go to college. That's the mentality. I'll take a hardworking athlete any day rather than, you know, somebody who thinks they've already made it.
Maybe a sense of entitlement with a natural-born athlete,
yeah,
that the others that have to work for it. I gotcha. Cool.
Yeah.
I admire what you do with that, with the kids there, and I know that takes a lot of time. And mm-hmm. And do you feel that adds to your own ability as an athlete, or do you feel like it's, why do you do it? Maybe that's a better question. Is it because you love it, or is it because you got to, hey, do this, Jules? Or
why do I coach? Or why do I teach?
Why do you teach? Why do you coach? Why do you volunteer your time? Because some of this is volunteer, I'm sure.
Yeah, seems like it. Well, you know what? One, it's difficult, actually, to maintain a normal job with my volleyball schedule. You know, my training schedule, plus having to take off so often for travel. That's another place where I think God has really worked with me, bringing me to Calvary with people that understand my goals and give me the flexibility in my schedule to come in at certain times and take off certain amount of days and give me opportunities to put in more hours to kind of make up for my time lost. I've been very blessed on that. But I've tried regular jobs. I worked at Lululemon Athletica. And that's something, again, that kind of goes along with my personality and what I like to do, and we're all about loving to sweat and work hard. But at the end of the day, it's still retail. I'm still standing. I was exhausted. I know a lot of friends that try to wait tables, and they are exhausted. So besides the fact of it working so smoothly, I don't know what else that I'm good at. That makes sense? Like, I feel I'm a decent personal trainer. I love helping people get to their goals, and doesn't necessarily have to be sport specific. It's regular fitness. I have private clients as well. And so that's the flexibility of my own schedule. I can still apply my sports science degree. And there's pretty much no other way to do that. I have an exercise physiology degree from Barry. Where else am I going to use it besides helping people sweat?
There you go. And you do what you love and love what you do. So you get to play volleyball and help others do the same. There you go. I like that. Now, you're playing for the National Volleyball League. I'm looking at, you know, your schedule here. You got a tight schedule. And I know. What is your goal? I want to talk about these things that you're doing, because I know a lot of sponsors can get a lot of visualization or visual stuff, you know, by being your sponsor. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But What's your ultimate goal? Is it to play at Olympics? Is it to, what is it? So share with us about that, because I think that would be so cool.
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, Olympics is everyone's ultimate goal. It is so few and far in between, obviously. The best two teams in the world were USA, and they both play for the AVP during the regular season. AVP is all the main governing body of volleyball. It's been around since the 70s even. But my first goal, obviously, is to have good, consistent finishes on the NVL, and that is they are growing so fast. They have their main goal is to grow the game, and so they do a lot of advertising for kids. We do pro coach coaching sessions before the tournaments. They broadcast online at thenvl.com. So there'll be a lot of live feed tomorrow starting at 11, as well as Saturday all day long. So anybody can go on thenvl.com, click on live broadcast, and see all the commentators and a lot of live games. But they're doing everything they can to grow the sport of beach volleyball. It's getting, the juniors division is getting huge. The NCAA has picked it up as a collegiate sport now. So now they are starting to see where the market really lies, and that's with the next generation. So this year I'd really like to be loyal to them and have decent finishes and get my face out there that way. However, the AVP does have a lot more financial backing. So you can place anywhere on the top 16 and make your money back and some. You know, very good money in the AVP. Yeah, so maybe in the next year or two, I'll stick with whatever tournament provides more money and then really work towards FIVB, which is the International League, and that's how you start racking up points for the Olympics, obviously. It's all a point system. So I use my skills to travel the world. Like, what better goal? How much fun could that be? Go all over the world just to play volleyball.
That's do what you love and love what you do. When you chase your passion, the money chases you. I learned that a long time ago. Cool deal.
I'm starting to hear that. So I'm...
Go ahead. Extreme Volleyball Professionals. What's that about? Talk to us about that. Did you have
EVP?
To try out for that? Because I was like, EVP. How did you get there?
It is a smaller tour. They have a few teams that they make their main teams, and they pay for them to travel or whatever. But it's, I definitely don't mean to talk bad about them. They run a great tournament. But it's just, it all comes down to when you high level, it comes down to money. And they are another pro tour that does very well with juniors, and they travel all over the country every single weekend. But I pretty much only go to the ones that will benefit me. Like, will I make more than my plane ticket at the end of the day?
I don't
play a lot of those because the point system doesn't correlate with the other pro tours. So maybe I get first, but it doesn't mean anything point-wise. It won't help me for the NVL.
So the NVL is the most important one to play right now, correct, that you're in?
For me.
Because that's going to give you –
for me.
Yeah, okay. Because it's going to give you more exposure. Your sponsors
a
are going
lot
to
more
be
exposure.
Able to. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
a lot more money.
Your sponsors. Okay, gotcha. So, all right. Let me ask you this, too, as well. How many sponsors would you like to have? Is that even a something to ask, or as many as you can get? talk
sure,
to me
I mean,
about that.
There's never a number to it. Right now, everyone's willing to give products, and I'm more than happy to promote for them in exchange for their fantastic products that I already love and use. I have Miola. It's a MIOLA. It's a surf company for really, not tight, but very good athletic bathing suits that obviously if the waves won't rip them off, the sand won't. So they have been fantastic on providing me a suit for each one of my NVL tour games so that they get exposure through all the live feed and all the photographs And the Celsius, the brand Celsius out of Boca, is I drink them anyway because they're fantastic, and it's you know, caffeine head, you know, it's hard to maintain my energy throughout my day without it. So they've been wonderful about providing me Celsius, which has saved me a lot of money. But when it comes to, you know, making this something that can support me, making volleyball support my lifestyle instead of my lifestyle trying to support my volleyball career, you know, plane tickets are the biggest issue. It's, okay, cool, they want you to come way across the country, maybe to risk not even making your money back. They're $400 plane tickets sometimes. And, you played awesome, but you got a seventh, and that didn't quite cut it. When, you know, the next place up was $1,000, and you're like, oh, I could have had it. So that's the stressful part. When you don't win, it feels like business. When you do win, you know, you, oh, my God, I play volleyball. I do what I love for money. But when you don't, it's a very stressful experience because you just bitch out hundreds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like you really have to you have to stay on top of your game, and it's hard to stay on top of your game when you're so close and yet so far away. Some, you know, the next place up wins $1,000 and you're like, oh, I had to pay all this money. I admire that for you because it's really the love of the game there. Let me ask you a question. If they want to sponsor you, how can someone get in touch with you? And I'm going to really help you on Angel Coaches End. So how can someone get in touch with you to say, hey, I want to help you because you seem like you believe in yourself and they get exposure. I know there's a beach network and other, you may want to mention that too as well. So how else are they going to get exposure to besides the ones you just mentioned?
Well, I would really, really appreciate any form of help, any sponsorship whatsoever. People can help with hotels, flight vouchers, points, any types of donations financially, like, oh, hey, I want to work through upset budget car rentals. I want to cover all your car rentals for the year or whatever. Or if it's just, hi, here's a $500 check for your California trip. Like, that would mean the world to me, but, you know, in exchange for what? Like, I would never expect that without giving their business or their personal status tons of shout-outs. So anytime I am on the main court, it's filmed.
Right.
And anytime you win, pretty much, almost every time you win, you get, like, a quick on-court interview so we can shout-out thank yous. And this is on the NBL broadcast live, and it's on the Volleyball Network. It's literally called the Volleyball Network. There's tons of magazines that promote for us all the time. It's called Spiky Beach, Big Magazine, USA Volleyball. There's all kinds of magazines that cover a lot of these tours, and so there's a lot of ways to reach at least the whole volleyball community, social media. So anybody that offers me anything, obviously, tons of thank yous. I share all of their stuff on Instagram, Facebook. Pretty much any way I can reach masses, I'll post whatever they want.
Cool. All right. And I know that's cool. I like that. So people are going to listen to the show, and they'll download it. So because you have different countries from different that have different time zones. So do you want to put an email or a phone number, or do you want and they can contact us if they want to? Yeah, you can give that out right now if you feel comfortable.
Yeah, no problem. The easiest way is just my full name, juliacridley@gmail.com. That's Julia C as in cat, R-I-D-L-E-Y, @gmail. And I check that daily, so that'll probably be the easiest way any time of day to get a hold of me.
All right, you have given us so much information here, and I appreciate it so much because the important thing for sponsors is to contact you that way. And if they forget, then you can always reach us at Angel Coaches, and we'll make sure that we get you in touch with her.
Sure.
Add me
on Facebook, Jules Ridley. I'm always on Facebook. You can kind of check out and see what I'm all about on there, and that's the username is just Jules Ridley. It's the same thing on Instagram. So that will be a very easy way to get a hold of me as well.
Cool. All right. So she's and I'm excited to see what, you know, we want to help you here. So I already talked to you about that in a little bit earlier. So and you guys have ways to get in contact with those who are going to listen now or those who will listen later. Anyway, Jules, you've been amazing tonight, and we want to have you back and hear more about your people that you coach. I'm glad you got a job where you can live your passion and do your passion. Listening to you, I was like, man, sometimes you have to go through those hard things. That's hard. That's challenging, you know, and you smile and get on the plane and say, oh, my goodness, I'll do it next time, right? Or thank
well,
you, God, I
it's
did it.
But it's rewarding, and I love it, and I wouldn't have gone through this grind for so long if I didn't love it. So I appreciate you having me so much. This has really been beneficial.
Oh, you're amazing. We want to have you back. And let me and we'll talk to you about some more things that we can do for you. Okay, everybody.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to this show tonight. You can't, and you guys see her. She looks like a slim volleyball player. It's all good. And I told her, I said, you probably have to keep your hair up all the time because she's going so much. She's got long red hair, so maybe a hair salon can, or a hair product can. So that'd be fun, huh? Anyway.
Yeah,
you guys check her out on Facebook, check her out, send her an email. And you know what? Sometimes it's not about making a consistent donation, although that's important. But if somebody has extra, they want to, you know, feel led to do that, they can send a $500 check, a $50 check, a $3,000 check, whatever they want to send to you. And that's going to help you too as well, right? One-time donation or a constant donation, it doesn't matter, right? You need to sponsor. So this is what we can do. Anyway, you guys take care. Have a great now. And thanks to everybody for listening now. And thanks for those who will download it later. Take care. Bye now. Are we good?